Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
A little bit of football there on the Giants draft situation. We talked about the Jets a little bit yesterday and the idea of the quarterback room and what they're looking to do at seven. I just wouldn't go running back. That's all. There's some reports out there that maybe if the running back out of Boise is there at seven, with the way, you know, Rich Cimini wrote an article that you could possibly move Hall, go with running back committee and draft a running back at seven, which would be insane to me. I don't draft running back seventh, but the New York Giants need a quarterback. So that's, I'm still hung up on it. I know I'm hung up on it. I'm hung up on the pitching performance from the New York Mets, too, as we are full-blown in baseball season. We are now 10 games in to the year. The Yankees are 6-4. The Mets are 7-3, being carried by their pitching staff that has been remarkable. It is the best pitching staff in baseball. They have the lowest ERA. They have won 5 games in a row with the offense doing absolutely nothing, including last night, where they won a game 2-0. 1-10 with runners in scoring position. I believe the Mets are the worst offense in the sport so far this year, and it's early, in runners in scoring position. But this pitching staff has the lowest ERA in baseball, and this bullpen, it doesn't matter who pitched yesterday, who's out. Like, they have no Diaz ready in this game. They have no Minter for this game. I believe Kranich was also out of commission for this game, and yet Danny Young needs to come in. Sure, no problem. We got Buto. I guess they're, you know, he wants it Buto. He pitches 2 innings. He's been great for them. This bullpen and the way they've pitched and the way they're carrying this offense that continues to struggle, right? And we can have conversations. I was talking about this in the open. We can have conversations now about, hey, you know, Juan Soto's coming around. It's a big RBI double. You know, he's getting on base. He's not a Juan Soto yet, but, you know, he'll come around. And, hey, listen, Lindor, he's been better than he normally is in this time of the year. He got a couple hits in this game. It's, you know, it's good. And Vientos, hey, Vientos walked 3 times. He's turning it around. And you could say all that instead of, where the hell is the offense? This team is killing me. The same crap can't come through with a big hit to save their lives. That would be the conversation, except for the fact that they don't give up any runs. And yet again, David Stearns continues, and I was critical, or at least concerned, about how this staff was put together, right? And it's not even so much the starting pitchers, who've been very good, don't get me wrong, even the starters. The entire team ERA is the best team ERA in baseball. The starters haven't gone deep into games has been their issue, including Kodai Senga. You heard in the cut there, played in the open, they're not going to push him. He hasn't pitched in a year. It's early on in the year, it's cold outside, all of that. Pitch count was somewhat up after 5, but you know, Clay Holmes hasn't really gone that deep, and he's battled through, you know, 4 2/3 inning starts, and he'll make his Citi Field debut later today. Obviously, Griffin Canning has gone 5 a couple times, still not giving up any runs. They've been remarkable, and the bullpen has been great. And Stearns and the pitching lab of the Mets that I have poo-pooed and still will in some ways poo-poo. I don't know if they're the smartest and best and brightest, but what they're doing right now is on another level. And if you, it's a continuation. This isn't new now. Like, this is a continuation from what they did halfway through the year last year up until now. They have been the best pitching staff in baseball, and they've done it with former aces like Severino who on hard times, former good pitchers like Sean Manaea who were relegated to the bullpen in their previous stops. They're doing it with relievers turned starters and Clay Holmes. They're doing it with arguably the worst starting pitcher who made a start every fifth day last year in Griffin Canning. They're doing it with Buddo. They're doing it with Kranich. They're doing it with Reed Garrett, who they picked up off the scrap heap last year. Like, yeah, they have Diaz. And yes, Kodai Senga is one hell of a pitcher, and Sean Manaea has turned himself back into what he was in Oakland. But, I mean, geez, they have done a better job with less here from this bullpen. And Mendoza does a great job, but let's be honest, it doesn't matter who he goes to. Every time he walks out to bring in another pitcher, they do a better job than the guy walking off the mound. It is incredible what the New York Mets are doing right now and what Stearns and Hefner and Mendoza and this franchise are doing day in and day out. It is remarkable. They've won 5 games in a row. They've played 4 games at Citi Field, and they have given up 3 runs. 3 runs in 4 games and 2 shutouts. It's on another level right now what the Mets are doing, and they are carrying an offense that you know is going to get going. And this is what I talked about yesterday, and to me it is right now the story of the Mets 10 games in at 7-3. They are winning with the question marks of the team, and that is always a positive because we expect and still do, even with the early struggles, the offense to be what carries this team. That's what needs to carry the team. And quite honestly, although they've been great for 10 games, that the offense will have to carry the team for them to be as good as we want them to be. Because this pitching can't persist. This pitching can't continue. So the offense is going to have to be the driving force if they want to get back to the NLCS, if they want to get to a World Series, if they want to get past the Dodgers, win a division. It's going to have to be the offense. But having said that, whenever you can go through a stretch, especially early on in the year, it's cold outside, Lindor typically struggles, Alonso's Soto's getting used to a new team or whatever. He's kind of been, you know, he's been fine. He's been getting on base. He just hasn't been impacting the baseball as much as you'd like. But he hits an RBI double in this game, and I'm sure he's going to be fantastic within a couple games. But for the first 10 days, with the offense really struggling outside of, like, Alonso, right now to have your pitching step up and carry you through this time, that is an amazing positive. It's an amazing benefit, and it's a sign of a good team. When one part of your team struggles, the other part steps up and wins you games. Just like it's the sign of a bad team, when one part of your team is going great, there's another part costing you games. Like, that's the yin and yang of baseball. That's what makes you good or bad. And right now, with the New York Yankees, 6-4, the offense, although stagnant in the game yesterday in Detroit, the pitching and the bullpen has needed every bit of these runs that they've given them over the first 10 games with the offense being dominant. And right now, again, Carlos Rodon yesterday, another typical Rodon start. I was positive about his first two. I was praising him for his opening day repertoire and how he was throwing breaking balls for strikes and he was pitching. I still will tell you that opening day start from Carlos Rodon was the best pitching performance we have seen from him. He was dealing. He wasn't just throwing. He was pitching. But yesterday was the same crap we always see, where he had good stuff. He had swing and miss stuff. He got 8 strikeouts. And yet the second things start to go against him, he is unable to battle through. And that's what happened in a 6-2 loss to the Tigers yesterday. He gets a terrible call. And to be fair, it was a terrible call. He had a strike 3 on the 9-hitter instead, after walking the 8 hitter. Instead, it's called ball 4. It sets up the inning. He promptly gives up a 3-run home run. 2 innings later, the Yankees battle back. They get a run. They make it 3-1, trying to get back into the game. An error from Oswaldo Cabrera, and you know it's coming around the score. Gives you another, gives up another two. Six innings, five earned runs, and you got the manager. I know Marco. He loves playing the clip in the top of the update because he's right. It's a terrible quote from the manager talking about, well, you know, besides that, he was excellent. Yeah, besides that, he was excellent. That should be, and Carlos Rodon ever writes a book. Besides all the runs, I was pretty good, would be the title of it, because it's just the same crap. He's unable to settle down and get out of jams. And all it takes is a bad umpire call. All it takes is an error. All it takes is a swing and bunt that doesn't go foul for a base hit. All it takes is one little thing that sends him in the wrong direction, and he is unable to put his foot in the ground and say this far but no further. He's just incapable of it. And I was pleasantly surprised with his first two starts, even the second start, which wasn't good because I thought he didn't have anything, and yet he battled. And it's one thing if it's cold out and you throw a 91 when he's a 96, 97 mile an hour guy, and his slider had no bite, and he was getting hit around early on in the game and then settled down and found it. Like, I applauded him for that start because we haven't seen that from him. If he doesn't have it, he gets absolutely knocked out of the game in the third inning, giving up eight runs. The idea he was able to battle and give you six was, I took as a positive, but led right into another typical Rodon, had good stuff, had swing and miss. He is just incapable of getting out of his own way. And it sets up a pitching matchup later today at 1 o'clock, as both the Mets and the Yankees have been moved to earlier times due to temperature, which again, I've never heard of this. It's one thing for rain. Rain's in the forecast from 5 o'clock on all night long. All right, let's move it up. But just for temperature, for being cold? I mean, if you haven't heard, Met fans, if you had tickets to the game tonight, you will not be able to go tonight. It's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so figure something out. I do believe they're giving vouchers to anybody who had tickets for tonight's game for another Monday through Thursday game at any point in the season. So at least they're taking care of you a little bit there, and they're not just saying, hey, show up at 4, you're screwed. But I don't know, because it's going to be 30 degrees out. What's it going to be in the afternoon? 37? Great. Some sunshine in 37. We'll see how it goes. But both teams have been moved because of early temperatures. It was snowing in the game on yesterday in Detroit, and it sets up a pitching matchup that the Yankees are destined to win, of course, with Cookie Carrasco versus the reigning Cy Young Award winner, Terry Skubal. So, not a great game, followed up by a very difficult pitching matchup for the Yankees, and they could find themselves, if the offense doesn't get it going, especially against a left-handed pitcher like Skubal, where we could waste that initial three-game sweep. So, we'll see where we are right now. The Mets can't stop pitching. The Yankees need to start pitching, and both teams are off to fairly good starts to begin their year. 888-808-1019. So we started with the baseball. We'll take calls on the football, the national championship game we talked a little bit about, and of course the Rangers, and eventually what is going to be the end of their season, as they had another lackluster performance in yesterday, as they have now found themselves six points out of a playoff spot, and no real hope of finding their way back. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stu in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Rodon means Rodon't. Yeah, you're right. The first start was good. Second one, he, like you said, he found it, right? He went and dug in. And now this. That's the last, 2 years? That we've seen from Rodon, the last 2 years, and why did they, Big Zoom said something to me that rang a bell. Why couldn't they just pick him up on a 2-year deal instead of giving them 6 years and $100 million?
Because then they also wouldn't have, because then they wouldn't have him. Like, you know, that's what it took to sign
him. Who needs him?
Well, I mean, now,
do
ideally,
we need him?
Well, it's easy in hindsight. The guy was pitching to a 2 ERA, saying they wanted him, and that's what it took to sign him. So, yes, it's ended up being a bad signing and a bad contract.
And he can't pitch in New York. Just like
I guess he's one of the few guys, and thank you for the call, Stu. He's one of the few guys where I feel like that's actually the case. Right, this I don't know if it's just New York or if it's the pressure of the Yankees or what's up. Again, I'm holding out hope that he can, because I think he can be a pretty damn good pitcher. And again, over the course of the regular season, he's going to have games like this, and then he's going to have good games. Like, he's going to pitch like a 4 ERA, And he's going to win, what did he win, 15 games last year? I mean, he's going to win some games. They need him. And that's what's frustrating about it, is they desperately need him. Until Luis Gil comes back, and there's been some reports of some positive stuff that he's going to begin a throwing program relatively soon. And maybe there's some hope that you are talking about the end of May, early June, which would be nice, as opposed to my assumption with any of these injuries I'll see after the All-Star break. So hopefully Luis Gil can come back. You've got Clark Schmidt coming back in the next few weeks, even earlier than that, in the next week or so. The Yankees, I believe, have announced that Ian Hamilton is going to be joining the bullpen in Detroit today, which is a much-needed boost to that element of the team. The bullpen is just, you know, right now Devin Williams is struggling a little bit in his first three outings. The overreaction from the Yankee fan is nuts. They've got Weaver, and then they've got, like, Tim Hill and Leiter. Like, right now, they need Hamilton back. They need Jonathan Loaisiga back. They need Cousins back. They've had some guys dealing with injuries that they desperately need back. And then the starting rotation clearly needs Clark Schmidt back in the next week because, I mean, you know, Fried's just getting his underway. He kind of found himself at the end of in the second half of that Pittsburgh game, and I have full confidence in him being a really good pitcher. And it's just right now, Carlos Rodon's very important. You got to throw him out there every fifth day, and he's got to give you a better outing. Now, look, to me, I'll give him a break on the second one because I thought he battled a little bit, and they got completely shut down that night, and they weren't beating Gallen and the Diamondbacks, no matter who the pitcher was. He's had a really good start on opening day, and then he had typical crap Rodon yesterday. So we'll see where it goes from here, but he has got to find a way to forget about mistakes, forget about things that work against him, forget about a bad call, forget about an error, and go about getting through jams when guys are on. He's got to make that pitch. He's got to find a little bit more Andy Pettit in him. Like, Andy Pettit would put runners on. He would just get the ground ball in the big spot. You've got to be able to do that. And Carlos Rodon has none of that in him. And that's the fear. The fear is when he's in a jam, he's unable to get out of it. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up?
You didn't get the Beatles song in at the top of the hour, man. I was all revved up for
that's,
it.
I wasn't going to mention it. I forgot to tell Zoo. That's okay.
Zoo's there.
I thought he knew. Zoo, you bum. I play the Good Morning Beatles song at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. It's okay. Eddie in Rockland works here, if you didn't know Zoo, so he's helping you out.
Maybe Zoo can walk you out to your car so you don't get yelled at by Boomer.
I'll try my best, but it happens occasionally.
But as Chris says, slowly you turn, and now Schechter's saying no quarterback for the Giants. Your fangs are coming out for Dable. Now you're going to stab him in the back, right?
Well, with my fangs, it would be biting. But right. No, I don't think I'm stabbing him in the back.
You could bite someone in the back, right?
I could bite someone in the back, I suppose, right. With my fangs. Yeah, I don't know. Right. I don't know if I have any intention of doing that. Did it sound like I was getting my fangs out for Brian Dable?
Well, you keep on saying that you don't know why you wouldn't take a quarterback and why would you bring him here. If he's supposed to be a quarterback guy and all that, you're not going to use his so-called talent that you say he's got. But let me ask you a few questions.
He's got some kind of talent. He got hired as an NFL coach. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Dable, right now, you could see, like you said, you don't know which way he's going, but maybe it's a
smoke. Well, again, it's not his decision exclusively. You're talking about, like, it's Brian Dable making the decision. He's got the general manager is Joe Shane.
He'll be if something goes wrong, he's the first one to go, right? You would say that?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
if they
wouldn't
come out 0-5, 0-6.
Oh, yeah, they don't fire the general manager. They probably wouldn't fire the general manager midseason. So, yes, if someone gets fired midseason next year, it's Dable. But I don't think they would do that.
He should have a lot some weight on
he's got a lot of weight.
Situation.
I'm just saying it's not exclusively his decision, but of course he has a voice in the process, yeah.
Right, so he's not taking the quarterback like I told you because he doesn't want to show his so-called guru skills.
We will see.
Okay, I want to just throw something. Say they don't go for the quarterback and you take the Penn State, the D-end off
Carter.
And Hunter off because I don't like either of those two guys.
Okay.
Who would you go with next if you take those four off the board?
I'm not even going to answer the question, Eddie. I got to be totally honest with you because I would be so freaking pissed off if the Giants don't pick one of those four. If they don't pick Shedeur Sanders, Hunter, or Carter, I'm going to lose it. So I don't even want to speculate. I don't want to go through it. I don't want to talk about... I know you're big on wide receivers. I don't want to go through it. Don't ask me questions that aren't going to happen. Those are the two best players in the draft, without exception. They are going to either trade back. So you can ask me, I guess they possibly could trade back if they don't like either of them. But no, the number three pick is going to be Shedeur Sanders, Hunter, or Carter. There's no doubt about it. It's not even worth playing your game.
Here's the last question. Mm-hmm. If you had a right now, write a deal for a 3-year extension for Daboll, and your mm-hmm. job was on the line.
Yeah,
would you say yes or no?
No, I. How could I say yes to a 3-year extension right now? No, I'd have to see this season. Of course, I don't. He hasn't done anything to warrant an extension. He just didn't get fired under his current contract.
I gotcha. Yeah, you want to hear my last one?
I mean, yes, of course. The first three were so interesting. What's the fourth one?
All right. How about this one? I got a reality show for you.
Okay.
You know how you go into Florida all the time, and you got the two boys.
Yeah.
And Gio goes to Florida all the time. He's got the two girls.
Yeah.
What would you do with life swap? You swap Gio's life, and he swaps your life for 1 week. Yeah. No funny business, just a reality show.
Well, I mean, do I get his bank account for a week? Because then I'm in.
And he doesn't do these. He's not allowed to spend any money. He's racing towards the bridge, man. His wife has spent. If he's making $500,000, she's spending.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. Let's not get into actual numbers. I was just making a little bit of a joke about the money. Relax, and let's not talk about wives and what. Like, you know, Eddie, you, I love you, buddy. I do. You act like. What would you say if they don't pick those 6-7 guys? Who do you think they should go with? You got your fangs out and you're going to stab them in the back. Vampires don't stab people in the back, man. Come on. Everyone knows that. 888-808-1019. We'll be at Eddie and Rockland, everybody. We'll be right back. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. If you want to talk about the quarterback situation with the Giants, we can. I know Abdul Carter obviously met with Brian Daboll. They had a meal. They had a meal together, lunch together. They had dinner together. They had cocktails together. They had, you know, little chips and guac and some margaritas. And now the Giants are meeting with him, I believe, today or tomorrow. So... you got Schefter saying that the Cleveland Browns are going to pick Hunter. It's going to leave Carter and Shedeur Sanders for the New York Giants. That's how it feels. And where the Giants go, I don't know, but I can tell you this. I am going to be very disappointed if the New York Giants don't leave this draft to the quarterback. I can't imagine the future without one. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come right.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start.
in. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right back. The Florida Gators are now the three-time NCAA basketball champion as they took down Houston, who really, I mean, to me, the tournament was kind of a dud for me. I thought there was a couple of, you know, some of the games are good. There wasn't obviously any of the Cinderella stories at all, which can be fine for the most part because it sets up better games as you move forward. But there were a lot of blowouts early on. And really, the tournament's going to be known for the Duke. Obviously, the Duke choke, which I saw today, they had a premiere over the weekend for the final episode of White Lotus. And if you haven't seen the White Lotus show, everyone, it's been a big hit HBO show. I thought it's kind of one of those things that my wife just has made me watch. It's season three. I thought the first season was great. It's got progressively worse for me. But there was a scene where one of the main characters was contemplating ending it all, wearing a Duke shirt. The whole family went to Duke. They're from Carolina or whatever, and they're all Duke. So it became like a meme, you know, with a guy, you know, with in that situation with a Duke shirt on. And he actually, and Duke was all furious about it. And you knew once they lost that game and coughed it up that you were going to see that meme like everywhere. And sure enough, we did. And he wore a suit, like a sports jacket with a Duke t-shirt underneath it at the premiere of the season finale, apparently. And Duke's been like really upset about the whole thing, really pissed off. They tried to get it taken off the air. They tried to make him change the episode. Like, Duke has not been happy about it, but that's kind of what the tournament's going to be known for around here. The unfortunate loss and the way it all went down with St. John's and Lewis Jr. and that whole situation, and the way Patino has handled it since and being so blunt about it. And, you know, Patino's done a little weird stuff, man. I got to be honest. I think Rick has done an incredible job. I'm thrilled he's here. He's a great head coach. As long as he's here, as long as the Rapoli money keeps rolling in, St. John's is back, right? There's no doubt in my mind. St. John's, and they've already had like a great portal. He is manipulating the portal. Some coaches run and some guys stand and face the fire. And Rick Pitino has stayed in this new era of coaching. He has not run for the hills with the NILs and the portal. He is dominating it. He's already making moves and gotten big-time players to come in and be a part of next year's St. John's team. But, I mean, you know, it seems like really unfair to RJ Lewis. Then, obviously, last year he's calling all of his players slow. And this is as unhappy as I've ever been coaching a team. And then he follows it up with this year, and everything's great, grand, and wonderful. They're doing the cold open on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. But it ends in disappointment and, you know, going all in on his players and everything like that. But still, an incredible job, an incredible year. And St. John should be back and be in the tournament every year. So we'll remember it for that and the loss to Arkansas. But the tournament kind of was a ho-hum and is known for the two choke jobs. Where I wouldn't call last night as big a choke job, but you got a 12-point lead. Their best player, you know, Florida's best player couldn't hit the water falling out of a boat. Like, he just, everything, he was off, didn't score a point in the entire first half after being really the talk of the tournament. does score 11 with some big shots down the stretch, but defensively, they just completely shut down Houston. Houston, the last couple of possessions, whether it's dribbling it off their knee, not getting a shot off in the final possession, just offensively completely folded in the last 5 minutes of the game, and the last three or four possessions in particular were just completely inept. Didn't get shots off. I'm trying to think if it was the third or fourth last possession, the last time they got a shot off. And that's an unfortunate way to end what was really a great run and an incredible, Final Four for them by overtaking Duke by, you know, down as many as they were. But an unfortunate end to Houston, but a national championship for the Gators. And we were watching that as well. We were watching the Met game. And apparently, I saw a little bit of the Rico Bronya podcast. As Evan does the drive home, Rico Bronya's, and just leave it. Evan's the, you know, sometimes Evan is just so on brand, it's ridiculous. In fact, Evan might be the most on brand person I've ever met. Evan is never off brand. Evan never does anything that you wouldn't expect Evan to do. Like, we have that big event for Craig being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he shows up dressed like, you know, a kid showing up to, you know, for like one of those building things at Home Depot. Like, he looked like you dressed a 10-year-old for a somewhat formal Saturday afternoon event. Like, it was just, you couldn't believe what he was wearing. Then he does the Rico Bronya drive home, and it's got about maybe from his eyes up to his forehead and then the ceiling of his car. Like, it's just like, it's just so, Evan is just so Evan, it's unbelievable. It never fails. Growing the beard, just all of it. Evan is so Evan. But listening to him, I guess there was like an outbreak of there was a Yankee fan there trying to get a Let's Go Yankees chant met by, like, we are so into this, man. It's unbelievable. The stories that are coming out, the Met fan dressed up in all full Juan Soto uniform at Yankee Stadium for opening day. The Yankee fan wearing the jersey and manipulating the Soto to sell out and all that. Like, it's just, we have gotten absolutely crazy with Mets Yankees. And it's actually, hopefully, we don't have to take ourselves too seriously, and we can actually have fun with it, because both of these teams are going to be good. The Yankee offense right now, like, I'm concerned about the pitching, and they're going to get some guys back, but the Yankee offense actually, I know they got shut down yesterday by a good pitcher who has a 0.7 ERA going through his first three starts, I think now. But this Yankee offense is going to be far better than we thought. Judge is off to an incredible start. The bottom of the order with Anthony Volpe and Grisham, I know he doesn't play every day, but he's been great. Grisham has just got another hit in this game yesterday. Wells and Jazz, and even at the top, you got, you know, people you wouldn't expect to have this. You know, Rice has really emerged as a legitimate hitter here, and, you know, you're getting a good start from Goldschmidt. So, like, the offense feels a hell of a lot more complete. They're getting some pitchers back, and you expect them to compete in an American League that there's no doubt it's down. And I know the Red Sox have gotten hot, and if you actually saw Rafael Devers, after all the talk of Rafael Devers and his 0-for-19, he is now 10 for his last 19. So he has turned it around after people were speculating that he was trying to work his way out of Boston. And I don't know if he's unhappy or not, but baseball's not like that. You can't go 0-for-forever and expect to get traded. But he's back to hitting. They've scored some runs. The Blue Jays cooled them off last night. But in a down American League, the Yankees are going to be really good. And then you look at the Mets, and this offense eventually is going to turn around. I talked a lot about this yesterday. Beatty is probably the one guy, and he didn't get a start yesterday for Acuna. But, like, you look at outside of Beatty, I think Vientos will obviously turn it around. You're having a great year from Pete Alonso, and Soto is just about to take off. You can sense that Soto is really going to start hitting the ball once the weather warms up a little bit, too. It's been absolutely frigid. And I applaud anyone who went to the game last night, and it sucks. I feel bad for the people tomorrow, as the Met game has been moved up to 4 o'clock. Like, it's hard to just, if you had a game at night, you work, but you got tickets for tomorrow night or later tonight, it's tough to just transition into four. I don't know how many people are going to be at the ballpark tomorrow for a 4 o'clock start. Probably not a lot. And I don't ever remember moving games for weather. It seems fugazi. I mean, for rain or a bad forecast, or obviously you saw what happened with Atlanta last year and the way they had to have the doubleheader at the end of the game. Like, that kind of stuff, okay. Like, you figure out for weather you can't play through, but just being cold, I don't know if we've ever seen that, where teams are literally just changing what the schedule of the game time to move it up where it's going to be, what, 5 or 6 degrees warmer in the sun? And this whole stupid series in Detroit for the New York Yankees is going to be played during the day as opposed to night. And it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. Nor does this Ranger season this year. And obviously, last night feels really the 4-0 Devils loss felt like the end of the year. They are now 6 points back after losing to the Lightning 5-1, giving up goals early. They did show a little bit of more life. They had more shots on goal than they've had in the last couple games. But, I mean, just an overall, I mean, it's one thing just to lose. It's one thing to not be as good as you thought. And this is a team that won the President's Trophy last year. I never in a million years, we knew we had questions about this Rangers' toughness, about how they're built for the playoffs. Can you be a successful playoff team the way playoffs are played, you know, in especially with teams like Florida and Carolina? Like, can you go through the gauntlet of the NHL playoffs with your best players being finesse, for lack of a better word, with, you know, Panarin and Zibanejad? And so you knew there were questions about the core of this team and if they're good enough to get through that gauntlet of the playoffs and be tough enough to get through that many seven-game series and compete again for a Stanley Cup championship. You knew those questions going in, but I never in a million years suspected that this team would quit. And it's felt like they quit. And that's what sucks about it, because it's one thing to be worse than you thought. Obviously, Lafreniere and what's happened with him after having a great year last year, to have it come back to what it is this year. They have to trade away Kaapo Kakko, and how disappointing to have the second pick and then the first pick and both of them be absolute duds. Where I know he's playing better in Seattle. I haven't checked up on him to see if he's really playing better in Seattle. I know the initial week or so, Kaapo Kakko was better after being traded, but like, those two guys are duds, right? The Zibanejad had an awful year. They're aging out quickly. They have to move the captain. Like, I understand that there's a lot of moving parts to this team, but it feels like that, yeah, they're not as good as we thought. Sure, you know, they may be to struggle for a postseason spot. Maybe it's not the cakewalk we expected in the regular season. They're not as good in the power play. They're not as good in the special teams. Not as good defensively. Igor probably wasn't as good this year as he was last year. All that stuff. But nobody expected the level of quit that it feels like this team is given. Like, it just feels like they had no interest in playing for the coach. They had no interest in really trying to work their way back. The JT Miller trade made it feel that way for, what, a hot minute when they won some games when he first got traded to the team, and he's obviously going to be a part of this team for a while moving forward. But it just feels like this whole thing needs to come to an end. Like, this is as sad an end to a team that we had high hopes for. The last 3 years, you know, the Rangers had given you a lot. I know the Lundqvist years had given the Rangers a lot. I talk often about how many playoff games I went to over that stretch with, you know, Stepan and Callahan and, like, Girardi and that team from Tortorella down. And I was talking to Brian Monzo, former producer of Francesa, and he was telling me that there are the rumors about Tortorella coming back now that he's out in Philadelphia. I mean, I would love to have Torts back to be the coach of the team, but can I ask a simple question about the NHL and why it's different than any other sport in this manner? Why is the retread head coach so popular in the NHL? Why is it that these guys work all over the place? I feel like the last, outside of Quinn, like the last handful of Ranger coaches have been guys who've coached all over the world. When you include Canada, like it's all over North America. They've been everywhere. Alain Vigneault has coached every different team you could coach. Tortorella's been all over the place. Obviously, it's crazy how these retreads keep getting jobs in different places. If the Rangers bring back Tortorella, I'll be excited about it because nobody's more fun. I will be pumped up for every single Rangers post game. I re-fell in love with the team because I've admitted this story. I kind of lost the Rangers for a little bit in like the late 90s, early 2000s for a while. And the road to, not that I lost them, I didn't have the same passion for them that I had when I was younger and that I've reestablished now over the last handful of years. But that Tortorella team and the HBO show, The Road to the New Year's Day game, I mean, Tortorella's the best. So if they want to bring back Torts, I'm all in, but maybe not try someone who's coached every different spot along the way. Like, it's so bizarre. And I don't know what happened with this coach and this team. Last year, it felt like he was getting so much of the praise on why they were different to start the year, and that the firing of Gallant was actually a smart move and they're benefiting from it. And because there was questions, obviously, after going to an Eastern Conference Finals, they fired the coach. Like, and it just felt like an abrupt firing, and yet it made all the sense in the world watching the team play over the first couple of months of the season last year, had this great year, and then all of a sudden, it just felt like for whatever reason, this team didn't connect with the coach, it didn't connect with themselves, the defense was terrible, and now going down the stretch of the season with their lives on the line, they're giving you 4-0 to the Devils, they're giving you 5-1 to Tampa Bay, and they're giving you lifeless, listless, awful performances that make it really hard to justify making a case for any one of these guys, any one of these core members, the head coach on down, to be a part of this team. And this is going to be a very interesting offseason for Chris Drury and the New York Rangers to see how they go about handling things, because this team didn't just lose. This team didn't just deal with injuries. This team didn't just not have as good a year as we thought. This team flat out quit. This team lost all of its strive for victory. Like, it just felt like they were so ho-hum about this entire thing, and it never felt like nobody broke a stick, nobody went off, nobody showed any emotion. They were just the frog in the boiling water. They were put in the pot, the water was nice and warm and cozy, and they just sat in it until they boiled themselves. Like, that's how it felt with this Ranger team. And it's never good to be boiled on ice. And that's what the Rangers were. Pardon the terrible joke. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back rapid fire style as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. I mentioned the changing of the times in case you're unaware. The Yankees today at 1:10. And that's some pitching matchup. Cookie Carrasco versus Skubal. That's going to be a tough one for the Yankees, especially against left-handed pitching. They desperately need a right-handed bat. I think they need a right-handed third baseman. I feel like there's one in St. Louis right now named Nolan Arenado, who they should trade for. Been screaming about that forever. I still am screaming about it. I just know they're not going to do it until the trade deadline, when it's going to be more difficult to do it. Thanks a lot, Brian Cashman. You know I love you, Brian. I could never stay mad at you. Then we got the Mets, 4:10. Clay Holmes making his Citi Field debut. Obviously, 4:10 is a move from 7 o'clock tonight in order to avoid the cold, which, look, a couple things I want to talk about with the cold here. Because someone did tweet me, and I did mention it, but I'll mention it again. Yes, if you do have a ticket for tonight's game, the Mets are honoring. You can either obviously go to today's game at 4 o'clock, but if you can't make it, you can exchange your ticket for any Monday through Thursday game the rest of the year at Citi Field. So at least they are giving you a voucher and taking care of you. You're going to get to go to a game if you can't go to this afternoon's game. But a lot of talk about, like, the baseball season and the idea. It was snowing in Detroit. It's so cold, they're moving games up. Like, I'm sorry, I'm willing to make adjustments to the schedule, but I am unwilling to sacrifice games. I don't care. I want 162. Don't you dare take one from me. Like, that's where I stand on it. If you want to move it, I saw Evan said something about moving it till the World Series till Thanksgiving. Like, I am not opposed, as crazy as this sounds for a Yankee fan, and I know we've only been in one since 2009. I would rather, and I know maybe I'm nuts, as opposed to exchanging games so that we don't have to play in the cold of April or the cold of late November, I would honestly be willing to move the World Series itself to a neutral site. And I know that sucks, right? If the Yankees are in the World Series, the Mets are in the World Series, you want to go. I get it. But if it gets to the point where we feel like it's too cold, I'd rather do that. I don't want to do that. I'd rather just go to Yankee Stadium and freeze. I'd rather just go to Citi Field and be cold. That's what I'd rather do. But if we're going to get to the point where we're moving games because of game time temperature and we don't view this as baseball weather and baseball's about the summer and the season starts too early, but I am not trimming down the season to 150 or 145 or anything like that. Absolutely not. I want all 162. I'd be willing to move the World Series to a warm, neutral site every year. I'd rather do that than take away games. I'd rather forego the possibility of going to a World Series game at Yankee Stadium like I did last year in exchange for, oh, listen, just make it, cut it down to 140. It's too many games anyway. Shut up! Too many games. There's no such thing as too many games. What are you, nuts? I'm not even that in favor of the pitch clock, honestly. Let the games be 5 hours and let there be 162 of them. What are we complaining about? You don't like watching Juan Soto? You don't like watching Lindor? You don't like watching Pete Alonso hit home runs? I hate the idea of shortening the season, but I understand, and I don't know why it's somewhat already into April. I'm surprised it's already being this cold. I just did the math real quick. I checked on a website. New York. Only New York. That's all I bothered to check. Because I guess Evan had this plan to play into Thanksgiving. It is a far colder month of November. I don't know if you realize this. It's far colder in November annually than it is in April. So I don't know what moving the season back would do. I think it is what it is. Play the freaking games. If it's cold outside, bundle up. Get a hot chocolate. Like, I don't know why we're I don't know why we're moving games because it's cold outside. Rain, absolutely. Dangerous conditions, of course. Snowstorm, people driving in, yes. But it's going to be too cold to sit there and watch a baseball game. Go buy yourself a Yankee bed sheet like I wear, big enough to put a bunch of different sweatshirts underneath. Layer, people. Wear thick socks. This is so dumb. Oh, I want to be comfortable. Don't we all want to be comfortable? You know what you're getting into. You buy a ticket for a game in April. Deal with it. That's just my two cents, because I know it's going to lead to conversations about shortening the season, and I won't have it. How don't you even dare think of taking games away from me? And I know that's what's going to, that's the conversation off of all this cold weather and games being changed. Hey, why are we playing in the beginning of April? Why does the season start on March 27th? Why are we doing this? Let's just, you know, 160 is too many anyway. You cut it by 20 games. You start the season May 1st. Everybody's happy. Everything's perfect. Not everybody's happy. I wouldn't be happy. Don't change a damn thing. Go get Long John's. That's what I say. Well, thank you guys for calling, and thank you for listening, Zoo. I appreciate it. You're the best. I'll talk to you tomorrow after the Brooklyn Nets, I believe, at 2 a.m. We have two baseball games. We got Yankees at 1, Mets at 4. The warm-up show is next, followed by the morning show. Maybe Eddie will call in and see if me and Gio can do this life swap reality TV show. Sounds interesting. Thanks, Eddie. Everybody, have a great rest of your day. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.